Next, Mr. Chameleon and the Forbidden Marriage Murder Case. Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder. Brought to you by the makers of genuine Bayer aspirin. Mr. Chameleon, as you all know, is the famous and dreaded detective of Central Police Headquarters who frequently uses a disguise or impersonation to confuse the criminals he is tracking down. In tonight's case, he appears in a particularly interesting disguise, which the audience will at all times recognize. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon in the Forbidden Marriage Murder Case. Seldom does a boy or girl choose a mate who meets with the full approval of their elders. And this applies particularly to Peggy Lawson, famous young stage star, whom we see in the living room of the home where she lives with her uncle and aunt, Marvin and Cynthia Lawson, announcing her intention to be married, little knowing that what she is saying will lead to murder, suspicion, and horror.
Well, darlings, the show closes tonight. Next we open in Boston.
We'll miss you so much, Peggy.
Very much.
You dears. But I haven't finished my story yet. When the show gets to Boston, I'm going to be married.
What?
And you, Uncle Marvin, and you, Aunt Cynthia, must be there. You know, you'll have to give me away, Uncle Marvin, and...
Married?
Married to whom?
To Cuthbert McKay.
Peggy, your aunt and I have never refused you anything, but I absolutely forbid you to marry that man.
But Uncle Marvin...
Suppose he is the great star in your show. You're mad, Peggy. 2 weeks ago, every paper filled with stories of how he tossed over his wife. Every columnist wondering what woman he threw her over for. And you, Peggy, that woman.
Why, this is terrible. It's a scandal, Peggy.
But let me explain.
Peggy, I won't let you marry Cuthbert McKay. I'd rather see you and myself dead.
Well, I must marry him. I've promised. And just bear in mind, I'm 22 years old and have the right to my own life.
Peggy, I tell you, if you marry that man, our home will never be yours again. Your Aunt Cynthia and I will consider you out of our lives.
All right, then. I am out of your lives. That's the way you want it. I am going to marry Cuthbert. So I guess it's goodbye.
And several hours later, that evening, in the office of the Commissioner of Police at Central Headquarters, we hear...
Chameleon, here's a nasty one for you. Peggy Lawson, the Broadway star, has been found murdered.
Peggy Lawson? That altogether delightful girl? Why, I saw her only last night in her show. Where was she murdered?
Well, her body was found in the vacant lot not far from her home, corner of Mason and North Street. The body is still there.
Well, I'll pick up Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold and get out there at once.
I hope you crack the case quickly, Chameleon. It's a sort that'll get a lot of publicity. Famous Broadway star and all that, you know.
Let's hope, Commissioner. Bye. See you later. There's the body, Dave.
Right, Mr. Chameleon.
One sure thing. Peggy Lawson wasn't killed here. See those marks on the grass where the body was dragged?
Looks like she was killed in a car from the angle of the bullet wound.
Yes, that's right. The angle indicates she was sitting next to her murderer. Horrible thing. What time is it, Dave?
Exactly 11:35, Mr. Chameleon.
Which means she was murdered almost immediately she left the theater. Dave, I'm going backstage at the Drury Theater. Some of the people in the show may still be around.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon.
Are you the stage doorkeeper?
Yes, Mike Ferris by name. And who are you looking for?
The murderer of Peggy Lawson. I'm Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters.
Peggy murdered? Are you kidding? Why, she only left here half an hour ago.
Did you see her leave the theater, Mike?
I did. She ran out in a terrible hurry. I wondered what was up. The poor kid looked like she was crying.
Did anyone meet her outside?
No, not exactly. She ran to a car that was parked halfway down the block and got in.
What kind of a car?
Well, now, it looked like her uncle's, Marvin Lawson's. It was a new Ford, painted blue.
Was anybody in the car, Mike?
Sure, I think it was her aunt, Mrs. Lawson. She or the uncle often called for Peggy after the show.
Now, Mike, watch this.
Yes?
Very important. Can you say positively that it was Peggy's aunt, Mrs. Lawson, in that car?
Well, no. No, I couldn't. Well, anyway, Peggy's aunt didn't kill her. And that goes for certain.
Are any of the actors in the show still here, Mike?
All except the leading man, Cuthbert McKay.
Oh?
You see, they're fixing to have a bit of a farewell supper for the closing of the show. And Mr. McKay is out covering the delicatessens to gather up some food.
When did Cuthbert McKay leave the theater, Mike?
Well, a few minutes after Peggy Lawson, Mr. Chameleon.
Seems to be taking him a long time to get that food.
Yeah, over half an hour. Say, you don't think he's been murdered too, do you?
Mike, I'm going to ask you to work with me.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I want you to take me backstage where those actors are, rush in ahead of me, and shout out that Peggy Lawson has been murdered. And that I am Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters.
Come on, Mr. Chameleon.
I bet we'll have a swell opening in Boston.
If we don't starve to death first.
Hey, I wonder what's keeping Cuthbert McKay.
Listen, all of you. Peggy Lawson's been murdered.
What?
And this is Mr. Chameleon of Central Police Headquarters.
All of you, please be quiet. I have one question to ask that needs a fast answer. Was any one of you outside this theater after Peggy Lawson left tonight?
Well, nobody here except Gertie Wells.
Say, what's this about me?
You are Gertie Wells?
Yes, Mr. Comedian, but what's all this?
Come with me, Gertie. I want to talk to you alone. Gertie, tell me, why did you leave the theater and where did you go?
I ran over to my room a few blocks away and got my traveling bag. I am leaving town tonight for Boston.
When's the show open there?
Next week.
Well, then why leave tonight, 5 days ahead?
Because I've got friends in Boston that I'm going to visit. But look here, Mr. Chameleon. I don't know anything about Peggy's murder. And if you're going to ask me if I killed her, the answer is no.
I have seen you around town with Cuthbert McKay, the star of this show.
And with a lot of other guys, too. Besides, Cuthbert went nuts about Peggy Lawson. Dropped me like a hot potato, divorced his wife for her. Oh, there he comes now.
Well, here it is. 6 cans of caviar.
Where'd you get the caviar, Mr. McKay?
Who are you?
Chameleon of the police. Investigating the murder of Peggy Lawson.
Peggy murdered? Peggy... Oh, no, no, that's impossible.
Answer my question, Mr. Cuthbert McKay. Where did you get that caviar?
At a delicatessen on 6th Avenue.
From the time you were away from the theater while Peggy Lawson was being murdered, I'd say that you walked out to the Bronx for that caviar.
I went into a dozen delicatessens finally before I found the special kind I liked.
The brand is a very common one. There's Detective Sergeant Arnold. Dave?
Yes, sir.
You run out and get me a can of this brand caviar at a delicatessen and bring it back here, please.
Give me the can, Mr. Chameleon. I'll be right back.
I'll see.
Look here, Chameleon. What are you trying to do?
Find out why you were out of this theater at the time Peggy Lawson was killed. Why you were out so long. And to hear the rest of the story, Gertie here started to tell me about you and Peggy Lawson.
So that's it, is it? Well, did Gertie tell you I chucked her for Peggy?
What's that, Cuthbert?
Yes, that's it. Exactly it, Gertie. And Mr. Chameleon, she made a terrible scene. I was afraid of her. Afraid of my life and Peggy's both. Peggy and I were to be married next week in Boston.
You're a liar by the clock, Cuthbert. Peggy came into my dressing room tonight and told me she'd broken the engagement. That her uncle and aunt wouldn't let her marry you. And get this, Mr. Chameleon. I'm sure Peggy was afraid of Cuthbert.
Well, well.
Here's the caviar, Mr. Chameleon. I got it from the delicatessen at the next corner.
Well, well, again. Thank you, Dave. Now, McKay, what about it?
Oh, that's the delicatessen I forgot to go into.
Where were you when Peggy was murdered? Where did you kill her? Let's have the answer.
I didn't kill her, I swear it. Remember who I am, Chameleon. Remember my great reputation as an actor. Remember...
And I remember, too, McKay, that an actor is always an actor and always acting.
I'd never kill anybody. And Peggy, heaven help me, Peggy, the girl I love...
He's a liar, Mr. Chameleon. He'd kill anybody who cracked into his conceit.
Detective Sergeant Arnold, you have these two tailed and under police surveillance every minute.
Gotcha, Mr. Chameleon.
McKay and Gertie, thank you both for providing a good motive, one for the other... for murdering Peggy Lawson. Come with me, Dave.
McKay's whole story sounds phony to me, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh, I've not put anything past either of them, Dave. On the other hand, remember that Mike, the doorkeeper at the theater. He seemed fairly certain that the murdered girl left in her uncle's car with her aunt driving it. Hop in the squad car, Dave. I think we should see Peggy Lawson's aunt and uncle. Mr. and Mrs. Lawson, I can see how deeply affected you are by your niece's death, so I'll make this as brief as I can.
Mr. Chameleon, my wife and I are completely stunned.
Oh, it's so frightful, Mr. Chameleon. I can't believe Peggy is dead.
I understand your niece was to be married to Cuthbert McKay next week.
Yes, in Boston. I was to give her away. Poor child.
Well, did you and your wife approve of Peggy's choice of husband? That is, of Cuthbert McKay.
Well, naturally, nobody was quite good enough for Peggy in our eyes.
But we thought it might as well be Cuthbert McKay as anyone else.
The only thing I didn't like was that so much publicity had been given his recent divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided, above all things, we wanted Peggy to be happy.
Have you notified her mother and father of her death?
They're both dead, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh.
Her father was my brother. He died a widower when Peggy was 10 years old and left her in our care.
It's strange in a murder investigation how so many people give false witness.
False witness, Mr. Chameleon?
Yes, I was told that you and your wife had forbidden Peggy to marry Cuthbert McKay.
Why, that's the...
But after talking to you, I can see how untrue her statement was.
That's preposterous.
And I was also informed by the doorman at the theater that you, Mrs. Lawson, called for Peggy in your car tonight, and that she drove off with you.
That's another false statement, Mr. Chameleon. My wife and I were not outside of this house all evening.
This is utterly ridiculous.
No, please, please don't get the wrong idea, Mr. Lawson. I am far from doubting anything you say. And we can settle this in 1 minute.
How's that?
Well, I noticed a garage attached to your house. No doubt your car is there now.
I put it in when I came home from the office about 5 o'clock this evening. And it hasn't been out since.
Well, if you let Detective Sergeant Arnold and me see the car now, that'll be all for tonight.
But why the car, Mr. Chameleon?
Well, a statement has been made about it that must be refuted, Mr. Lawson. So it's best for you that we look over that car.
All right. Here's the garage. And here's the car, Mr. Chameleon.
A new Ford, painted blue.
Just as the doorman at the theater told you, Mr. Chameleon.
Right, Dave. Still feels warm. What temperature does that motor register?
150 degrees.
What's this leading to, Mr. Chameleon?
To the fact that the car has not been standing here since 5 o'clock, nearly 7 hours ago.
It wouldn't be registering 150 now, Mr. Lawson, if it hadn't been used within the last hour.
That's right, Dave.
But I tell you, it hasn't been used.
Well, whoever used it evidently was in a hurry. I see the ignition key is still in it.
But my husband always forgets to take the key out, Mr. Chameleon. He's absent-minded.
Really, Mrs. Lawson?
Somebody must have stolen this car.
Stolen it, Mr. Lawson, and then brought it back? Well, that seems far-fetched, doesn't it?
Yes, but my wife and I were not out of the house tonight.
That is the absolute truth, Mr. Chameleon.
I have a motto, Mrs. Lawson. The guilty must be punished. The innocent protected. Dave, get out your flash and take a picture of that 150-degree temperature. And then we'll relieve you of your car, Mr. Lawson.
What?
We must take it to headquarters.
But, Mr. Chameleon...
The bloodstains on the front seat will be checked by the laboratory against the blood of your murdered niece, Peggy Lawson.
But wait, Mr. Chameleon.
Good night, Mr. Lawson.
Mr. Chameleon, the laboratory just reported that those bloodstains we found in the Lawson car match Peggy Lawson's. We'd better arrest her aunt and uncle right now.
In the quiet here at police headquarters, Dave, the question comes to my mind, why should they have killed their niece? Why?
Huh?
People don't murder their nieces and face the chair to prevent their marrying someone they don't like. That is, unless... Dave, I've got a hunch. Remember Mrs. Lawson telling us that she objected to Peggy's marriage because of Cuthbert McKay's recent divorce?
Well, sure, but...
Cuthbert McKay's divorced wife is Alda McKay. She lives at the Shoreham Apartments. I'll go up there. You stay here at headquarters, Dave.
Okay, but I don't get you.
Ms. McKay, I'm Chameleon of the police, investigating the murder of the girl your recently divorced husband was to marry, Peggy Lawson.
You don't think I killed Peggy, do you? Why should I?
Discarded wives do strange things, Elder.
I know nothing of Peggy's murder, and I don't care what Cuthbert does or whom he marries.
You hate him, then?
We parted good friends.
Sounds like a Hollywood routine to me. Every divorce out there is between the best of friends.
Mr. Chameleon, just what brings you here?
A statement Mr. Marvin Lawson and his wife Cynthia made about your divorce.
What?
I may as well tell you that before I questioned them, I was almost ready to arrest your ex-husband for the murder.
Well, Cuthbert would no more murder anyone than I would. But what did Peggy's aunt and uncle say about me?
I'm afraid that I can't tell you.
Did they tell you why they tried to stop Peggy's marriage to Cuthbert?
You'd better tell me, Elder. It may get you off a spot.
In simple terms, $25,000 a year.
What $25,000 a year?
They got $25,000 a year out of Peggy Lawson's estate as long as Peggy remained unmarried.
And then what?
Her father's will said that when Peggy married, the $25,000 would stop. And it would be up to Peggy to decide if they got anything.
Sounds fantastic. Where would a girl in the theater like Peggy inherit such money?
Well, it's not generally known, but she was the heiress to the Lawson Flour Mill's fortune.
How do you know about the will?
Peggy Lawson told Cuthbert all about it. And he told me.
If provable, that gives Peggy's aunt and uncle a motive for murder.
It's provable, all right. Peggy told Cuthbert the will was at the Continental Trust Company.
By the way, do you smoke cigars?
What?
Well, the aroma of the one I smell in this room smells like the one Cuthbert McKay was smoking tonight at the theater. Oh, my word, there's the band of the same cigar. A Corona Perfecto in that ashtray over there. Well, I'll take that
but
along.
Oh. Hello? Oh, yes, he's here. It's a call for you, Mr. Chameleon.
Thank you. Hello?
Mr. Chameleon?
Yes, Dave.
Mr. Chameleon, a call just came in. Gertie Wells has been shot in our dressing room at the theater.
Meet me there at once, Dave.
What happened, Mr. Chameleon?
Another girl in the love life of your ex-husband has been shot. Good night, Elder.
Mr. Chameleon and the Forbidden Marriage murder case continues in just a moment. When you're suffering from an ordinary headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain, you want two things. First, you want something that will give you fast relief. And second, you want something that will give you dependable relief. So listen. People everywhere know that because it's actually ready to go to work in 2 seconds, Bayer aspirin provides fast relief. And they know that because it's gentle to the system, it also provides dependable relief. The fact is that Bayer aspirin has been used by millions of normal people without ill effect, a record no other pain reliever can match. And that means that of all pain relievers, Bayer aspirin is one you can take with complete confidence. So when you have a headache, don't experiment with drugs that have not been proved by years of successful use. For the two most important kinds of relief, the fast relief you want and the dependable relief you need, do as millions do. Be sure with Bayer aspirin. When you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, not just for aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the Forbidden Marriage murder case. The unsolved murder of Peggy Lawson, beautiful Broadway star who was shot in an automobile shortly after the performance of her show, has given Mr. Chameleon one of his most puzzling cases. Suspects in the murder are Peggy's aunt and uncle, Cuthbert McKay, her fiancé and star of the show, Alda McKay, his ex-wife, and Gertie Wells, a showgirl he jilted. Now we find Mr. Chameleon at the theater, bending over the couch where Gertie Wells, who has just been shot, is saying...
I don't know what happened, Mr. Chameleon. I heard a shot. That's all I remember.
What were you doing here at the theater so late, Gertie?
We all stayed talking about Peggy Lawson's murder. Everybody was terribly excited.
Well, did Cuthbert McKay stay, too?
If he did, Mr. Chameleon, he's gone now.
You're still sure, Gertie, that you don't know who your assailant was?
Please don't ask me anything more, Mr. Chameleon. I can't take it.
I understand, Gertie. Here, let me move your pillow a bit to make you more comfortable. The ambulance will be here any moment for you now. See you tomorrow in the hospital. Come on, Dave.
What's that you've got, Mr. Chameleon?
A wig, Dave. A woman's wig. I took it from under Gertie Wells' pillow.
Yes, but what...
Whose hair would you say this wig matches, Dave?
Peggy Lawson's aunts.
That's it exactly, Dave, and it presents a very interesting question. Did Gertie Wells impersonate Peggy's aunt in the murder car, or did the murderer plant the wig on Gertie to throw suspicion off himself or herself?
Boy, I'm in a daze, Mr. Chameleon.
Dave, the wig gives me an idea.
You mean you're going in disguise?
Mm-hmm. First thing tomorrow morning, in the disguise of Jim Montague, a new theatrical producer on Broadway, a bloke who is starting to costume a new show.
And so the next morning finds Mr. Chameleon, in his disguise as the theatrical producer Jim Montague, doing the rounds of the costumers in the theatrical district. And he is saying dejectedly as he reaches the last place,
I'm Jimmy Montague, the producer. All I want to know is, did this wig come from here?
Gee, Mr. Montague, is something wrong with it? Mr. Manella gets real mad when they don't give him the right size.
Do you mean this wig was made here?
Sure. Someone ordered this wig late yesterday. We made it up in a hurry for him. It's a common type.
Well, do you remember who ordered it?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, a woman came in.
What did she look like?
Mr. Montague, if you'd seen as many women go in and out of here as I do, you wouldn't ask. Gee, sometimes they go in with gray hair and come out with red. You'd be surprised at the women who wear wigs. Honest.
Well, then, this Mr. Manella, who made the wig, perhaps he'd remember this woman.
Funny thing. But, you know, his wife said he got a telephone call late last night to meet somebody at a tavern, and he hasn't been home since.
He hasn't been home since?
That's right. I had a boyfriend who did that once. What's the matter, Mr. Montague? What's the matter?
Nothing. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Any luck on the wig this time, Mr. Chameleon?
Dave, find me a man by the name of Manella, a wig maker, and we'll have the answer to Peggy Lawson's murder. Find him and bring him to headquarters immediately.
Mr. Chameleon.
Dave. Well, where's that wig maker, Manella? Did you find him?
I found him all right, Mr. Chameleon.
Oh?
Stretched out on a cold slab in the morgue. He was murdered early this morning.
Murdered? Dave, that man was killed to keep him from identifying the person who ordered the wig and murdered Peggy Lawson.
So where do we go from here?
We are going to search the Lawson house, the apartments of Cuthbert McKay, Alda McKay, and the room of Gertie Wells. Everyone involved in this murder. Let's get going, Dave. We'll start with Cuthbert McKay.
Two hours later, Mr. Chameleon and Dave, who have just left Cuthbert McKay's flat, stand at the door of the apartment of his divorced wife, Alda McKay. A skeleton key in his hands, Mr. Chameleon bends over the lock, as he says.
Now, there isn't much time, Dave. She may come back any minute. There we are.
Well, so far nobody caught us searching Cuthbert's place or the Lawsons.
Dave, that dresser on the corner. You take that first and then check the desk. Don't miss a thing.
Okay, Mr. Crane.
I'll take the closet. Dresses, coats. Let's see. Dave, come here.
What did you find? So what's that? Just a pair of shoes.
Don't you see? There is grease on the bottom of these shoes. Motor car grease. And it's come from the floor of a garage. That only means that... You here, Alda McKay?
Get away from that closet. How dare you break into my apartment, Chameleon?
Watch it, she's got a gun.
Drop it! Let go of that gun.
I got it, Mr. Chameleon.
Alda McKay, how did that motor car grease get on your shoes?
Go!
Well, I'll tell you how. You're in the Lawson garage. You ordered a wig and disguised yourself as Cynthia Lawson. You took Cynthia Lawson's car, parked it near the theater, where you'd be seen and mistaken for Peggy's aunt.
You're a fool, Chameleon. If you think grease in a pair of shoes will hold up in court as evidence, why, they'd laugh you out of the courtroom.
Yes, but when ballistics prove that this gun, your gun, killed Peggy and the wig maker, then what do you think the court will do?
I had nothing to do with it. Now take your hands off me.
Not so fast, Alda. You are going to headquarters, where I think we have another little surprise for you.
But what is the surprise Mr. Chameleon said he had in store for Alda McKay, whom he has just arrested on suspicion of murdering Peggy Lawson, the girl her divorced husband expected to marry? We now see Mr. Chameleon entering his office at Central Police Headquarters with Alda and Detective Sergeant Dave Arnold, and he is saying...
Dave, take Alda in the next room. Leave the door open. I want her to hear everything that's said. I'll bring in Cuthbert McKay.
Cuthbert?
Take her into that room, Dave, please.
Step in here, Alda.
Right, Mr. McKay, come right in.
I understood you wanted me to meet someone here, Mr. Chameleon. I don't see anyone.
I changed my mind, McKay. I'll start instead by telling you who killed Peggy Lawson. It was your divorced wife, Alda. We have all the evidence.
I was afraid of that. Alda's fully capable of going into a jealous rage and killing. She's insane, I'm sure.
Why didn't you tell me this before, McKay?
I couldn't forget she'd been my wife, Mr. Chameleon.
You know, of course, that she disguised herself as Peggy's aunt, Cynthia Lawson, then got the Lawson car and met Peggy at the theater, drove her off and murdered her.
Yes, and I was fool enough to tell her one day how Mr. Lawson always forgot to take the key from his car. It's all too terrible.
Dave, bring Alda in here, please.
Cuthbert, you dirty skunk. But don't think you can get away with it. Mr. Chameleon.
You're about to tell me Cuthbert McKay was in this with you, aren't you, Alda?
In it. He planned the whole thing.
Don't listen to her, Chameleon. I told you she's insane.
I'll not only listen, Cuthbert, but I'll believe her. Have a look at this will, leaving you $100,000. Peggy Lawson's will.
Where did you get that will?
When I searched your apartment today.
He couldn't wait, Mr. Chameleon. And when Peggy refused to marry him, he told me he was glad. Told me I was the only woman in his life.
And offered to remarry you if you would do away with Peggy Lawson before she had a chance to void that will. In other words, to kill her that very night.
That's right. That's what he did.
She's lying, Chameleon. Kill her.
Stay quiet, McKay, or I'll bash her head in.
And then, Alda, you and he would go away with the $100,000. Was that it?
That was it, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see he never had an intention of marrying me again. Instead, he threw me to the police for murder. Oh, what a fool I was.
Who told you where to get this wig you used to impersonate Peggy's aunt?
He did. And when the man I got it from connected me with Cuthbert, Cuthbert killed him. Then he tried to kill Gertie Wells and plant the wig on her.
I know. And pulled both with the very gun that you used to kill Peggy. Well, that's all. Dave, charge them both with first-degree murder. Cuthbert McKay and Alda have played their last roles.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. There's nothing as important as fast relief when you have an ordinary headache, neuritic, or neuralgic pain. And millions who want very fast relief use Bayer aspirin. For Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly. Within 2 seconds after you take them, Bayer aspirin tablets start to disintegrate. And that's why relief comes so quickly. Remember this, and remember, too, that Bayer aspirin is one thing you can take with complete confidence. We say this because no other pain reliever can match Bayer aspirin's record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. So for fast, reliable relief from headache or the pains of neuritis or neuralgia, use genuine Bayer aspirin. And when you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle, and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at this same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Case of Murder in the House of Torture. Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson. And written by Frank Hummert, from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Clancy.
Friends, there's a new toothpaste in the market that you'll want to try. It's called Lion's Toothpaste. And it's not just another old toothpaste with an added ingredient, but is completely new and radically different in formula. For this reason, new Lion's toothpaste does what no other toothpaste can do. Yes, laboratory tests on scores of individual teeth prove that it actually gets teeth brighter, 2.5 to 5.5 times brighter than any of the 5 leading brands. Brighter by far than any other toothpaste. So for a brighter smile, try this toothpaste that cleans without soap, polishes without chalk. Lion's toothpaste.
Listen for Mr. Chameleon in The Case of Murder in the House of Torture next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.